Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott dive further into French wine as they drink the Domaine de Belle Haute, Oclédom La Pidame, Côte de Roussillon, Village La Tour de France from Michel Chapoutier. So sit back, relax, and pray I don't have to pronounce that again here on the Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Are you lonely tonight? We're very lonely because...
Well, the Triple B is not on the show tonight.
Very lonely.
She is, once again, she is not over whatever respiratory infection she suffered. She's been in a lot of cold climates recently. I don't know why. She's been off. She said she had some planning to do. I don't know.
Meetings?
I don't know. She used the term clandestine. But I heard her say these things whispering into a phone in a room I wasn't in. I don't know what that was all about.
Was it a phone or an amulet on her wrist?
It was strange. I didn't know I didn't think we had a landline at the house. Yet she was talking into one here in the. I don't know what that's all about. It was red.
It was red. Yeah. The red line.
It was actually a hamburger phone. No, it was
the Hamburglar.
Yes, it's a hamburger phone.
Did a guy never kind of squirrelied with his hands, and he was wearing a prisoner's uniform.
Hello. See, but the thing is, Bulgaria, all they can afford are free old McDonald's phones. So
it's more Belarus.
Oh, is it Belarus?
Belarus is the other staging.
She tricked me. Well, that Bulgaria too, but that's all they can afford. Here is your spy equipment. This is free from McDonald's 20 years ago. Well, this is correct. It is what Americans have. They love the hamburger. Everything is hamburger in the United States.
I don't know that.
It's a hamburger. You put the hamburger there. Think it's a hamburger because you're an American.
And then,
or they'll say, that's a hamburger phone, which is common in the United States.
I don't know. You're stupid.
That's, you know.
It's the conversation.
You're learning your training quite well.
And you really are stupid.
Becky probably does tell her handler that she's stupid. That they're stupid.
Well, they probably are stupid. They picked her as a spy.
You want me to do what?
It's a hamburger phone.
That's stupid.
This isn't spy equipment. This is McDonald's children's toy.
No. It is a spy equipment.
I saw this. You can buy this in a toy store.
That's my Becky impersonation, by the way.
Put your boss on the line, she says. And they do.
Yes. And it's Ronald McDonald, strangely enough.
It's Putin.
Oh, is it Putin? Might be.
And he says, yes, ma'am.
Yes. We're waiting for the ground to freeze.
Put your shirt back on before you speak to me, she says. And he listens.
You're stupid. And I won't. I'm on a horseback. Who rides a horseback on a horseback with no shirt on? Except for the guy that loves that Jack London Zen.
Well,
between his legs was a beautiful horse. And that happens. You know, that happens. Well, nevertheless, on tonight's show, we do not have a beautiful horse. But we do have French wine. Because Triple B is not on, we are drinking things that she will not drink. So it's not pink. On tonight's show, we are back with Michel Chapoutier, his line. You know, we've done all sorts of stuff from Michel Chapoutier on this show. We've also done the Belle Haute line, which is his line in Roussillon. And this is his higher level Roussillon wine. And it's the Oclédom La Pidame, Côte de Roussillon, Village La Tour de France. And La Tour de France is a commune within Côte de Roussillon. I think we talked about this in Côte de Rhône.
Yes.
Côte de Roussillon has a very similar thing going on there. And so this area has enough provenance to warrant its own designation, and it's a village. So it is Syrah, Grenache, and Carignan, and that is, I believe, 50, 40, 5, and 5. Oh, I'm sorry. There's 5% Mauvedre in there, too. So 50% Syrah, 4% Grenache, 5% Carignan, and 5% Mauvedre. I did the math. It does equal 100. Steve Gibson did not do that math. Wow. So it is very exciting. This wine does have reviews. We'll get to that in a short order. However, tonight, Scott, how excited are you? You, Scott, picked this wine out. And very by the excited. Way, current vintage is 18. This is the 15, so it's a little bit aged.
Yeah, I was going back through my purchases to see when I got this from wine.com, and I just went back about 2 years and could not find it yet. So I'm just going to.
Well, I have the tag back there. I will look and tell you.
I want to say it's going on 2 years.
You bought this wine 4/6 of 2020.
So almost going on 2 years.
Yeah, about almost 2 years ago.
And
right after COVID started.
Splurging.
I saw your man apologize for being a dickwad.
Oh,
Flo Blogan.
I'm sorry I offended you. I didn't know. I have other people that say that these people are stupid on, so it's equal. I didn't know that would be offensive. I think having warning labels on my show is a good thing.
You shouldn't have to have warning labels on. Maybe we should have to have warning labels on.
No, they're
going to
put warning labels on any show that discusses COVID.
And they're going to have mostly his. I mean, you know.
And they're going to have a link to information.
Yeah. It's the Joe Rogan rule, though. I mean,
but he doesn't know what that ass clown's going to say. And the outcry was over that single episode, not removing him from the platform.
Nobody's going to remove him from the platform. That's silly. I mean, you know, Neil can do whatever he wants, but nobody's going to remove him from the platform. I mean, that's not going to happen.
They signed him for $100 million.
No, whatever. Nevertheless, folks, we're going to take a break and be right back here on The Wine Bond.
Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on The Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.
And we're back, folks. So, the 2015 Domaine de Bille Haute Occladon Lapidum, Côte de Roussillon, Village La Tour de France from Michel Chapoutier. And now the show's over.
You should just say Bille Haute.
Yeah, we're just going to say Bille Haute from now on. But there's multiple Bille Hautes.
Occultum.
That's, I think
Lapidum.
It's Occladon is what actually is what it is. Occladon. But
that would be putting the L before your U.
Yeah, that's what Apple Translate says it is.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I bet it does.
And that lady has a French accent. So as we said, 50, 40, 5, and 5, critical acclaim.
That's right. This is Welford. I'm critically acclaimed. I'm critical. Triple B is not on tonight, which is good. You know why?
It means you can be unharassed.
She does harass me. And I'm thinking, your husband's right there. Don't be giving me those eyes. That's terrible.
I think she's worried about you giving her husband the eyes.
I do sit really close to him. So he's a handsome man. Well, very smart, powerful.
It's funny, you're sitting in his seat right
That's
now.
That's right. I know. I'm sitting basically on his lap. I don't know why that is. That's so strange.
Oh, Lord.
I know. And there's lots of reviews. And since the Triple B isn't here, assuming Rob the Wine Guy's voice doesn't leave, I can read all of them. So Robert Parker, his wine advocate, he gave it 94 of his points.
And he said one of the more polished, sexy examples of the cuvée. The 15 Côtes de Roussillon Village La Tour de France. Oklahoma Lapidam checks in at a blend of 50-40 and a balance of Carignan and Mourvèdre. I left out the Syrah and Grenache, but we already said that, didn't we? Aged in all concrete tanks. It boasts killer notes of black raspberries, cassis, pepper, and licorice, with just a hint of chocolate appearing with time in the glass. This is medium to full-bodied, layered, and beautifully textured red is an incredible value and will be impossible to resist, just like me, over the coming 4 to 5 years. And I'm sure it will keep even longer. You know, I used to think, and see, there it goes. He's losing his voice. I said, you know, I made a bet. And not that I tried this, but I said to someone, I bet that a severed human's foot will last in a refrigerator for 4 to 5 years. But I said, but I'm sure it'll keep even much longer. You know what I found out from a friend?
What did the friend say, Wilford?
It only makes it about 6 months, and then someone finds it, and you're having a very awkward conversation. And then they end up in the refrigerator. I'm just saying that's the way that works. And eventually, you have to buy a second refrigerator. You know.
Wilford, your friend should maybe try a freezer.
Then my mom's like, what are all these refrigerators lined up on the wall, Wilford? And I said, what? I don't know. Don't open them. Now my mom's in a refrigerator.
Damn it.
It's very awkward.
You've been watching too much Dexter lately.
What? Who's that? It's like a do-it-yourself show?
That's it.
Is it?
It's definitely do-it-yourself.
I thought that was a Time Life book.
New Blood. Dexter. New Blood.
I like that. That's nice. I sneak up on you like a puma. Wow.
You know something about the post-Robert Parker wine reviews?
Mm.
And that's an indicative one. Mm. You know that's not Parker's writing style. He never wrote
no
textbook. Oh, this is from a good cuvée. It's balanced, and here's what's in it.
It's also about. No. It's also too short. It seemed long because it was Wilford's voice. I'm about ready to lose my voice, but.
But the length of the review is just naming the wine, which has a really long name, and then listing the varietals and the percentage of the varietals in it. And that's half the freaking review.
It's called padding. Yes.
Yeah. And Bob didn't do that.
And Scott's
bad toupee or no bad toupee.
Scott's going to read the next two reviews because he's never does that.
From the wine enthusiast.
Oh, you have that.
Gamey and herbal characteristics are front and center on the nose of this wine, supported by a fruity core of baked plum, black cherry, and raspberry. The palate boasts similar complexity and intensity, with additional hints of graphite and crushed slate. Ooh, beautiful minerality that we just love. The texture is round and plush at first, but a solid grip of structuring tannins unfolds on the mid-palate and lingers long into the spicy, dark, licorice-fueled finish. Drink now to 2023. A wine enthusiast editor's choice at 92 of the enthusiast points.
Wow, that's a lot of points.
And just some similarities between the two reviews. The Spectator was less enthusiastic about it. 90 of their points. Red plum and dried berry flavors show underpinnings of dark chocolate and spice in this meaty red. Hints of black tea, olive, and mineral linger into the tangy, tannic finish.
Now, regular Bila Olt, just the base, Côte de Roussillon, it comes in about $13.99. This one is $27.
Yep.
So this, you're up in, you know, Grosse Hermitage. You're up in some Northern Rhone stuff, some Hermitage stuff, maybe a little bit of cheap Gigonas when you get into this stuff, but that's okay. That's okay.
I mean, listen, it's not that expensive a drink, but it's a step up in their line.
When we're getting into the specific commune, whether it be Côte de Rhone or Côte de Roussillon, you're in this price range. You're above 20.
Yep.
So let's do this. Now, Scott said, or actually someone said, maybe Wilford, it is all, there's no oak. It's all concrete casks. And that's the way it was with most of their stuff like this. By the way, recommended food pairing, beef meat. beef meat.
That's my favorite kind of meat. I love beef meat.
Instead of beef tallow, instead of beef hooves.
Beef meat. Instead beef of meat.
Beef impossible beef.
I just like beef meat.
I'll bet you do.
Beef meat. Beef meat. That's great. Beef meat.
As opposed
sounds
to,
like you're saying beef meat.
I've said beet meat. I mean beet my damn what it. Now?
Now
beef meat. Say that 50 times. Real fast.
Yeah. 50. No.
Beef meat. Beef meat. Beef meat. No.
No.
Beef meat.
Can't wait till your voice goes out.
Mikkel, and we know each other very well. It's called beef. Well, we know what beef is. Well. It's not there's not beef pudding. At least there better not be. Or beef lemonade. Or beef aid, no.
It would seem like there was some uncomfortableness that was not lost in translation, but gained in translation.
Beef meat. You know, I know what some beef meat looks like. I'll just show you some.
Now the drawing starts already. Jesus.
Some beef meat. There's some beef.
Bill Murray's next movie, Gained in Translation, yes. Starring Wilford Wong in a cameo.
It's fantastic.
Rob the Wine Guy, artistic input.
Oh, Lord. Now, this actual commune, the La Tour de France, it's a little bit hillier than some of the other ones, just to point that out. So I think there's some limestone soils there. I mean, it's some definite, there's a lot of variation, both in the soils and the topography. So it should offer some very interesting wine. So, in the glass.
New World Syrah glasses? Is that what the offering is?
These
here?
Are Old World Syrah
Old glasses. World Syrah glasses, mm-hmm. Which is a slightly narrower opening in the top?
A tulip shape of sorts.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. And I use anything, basically it's from Rhone, Languedoc, That's what I put in here.
The Old World Syrah glasses.
Now that is a backstrap of molasses and black licorice
on the nose.
With a little bit of blackberry.
Yeah, that molasses is molasses maple syrup is striking.
If you've ever had if you ever smelled like sheep or goat feed, they have a lot of molasses in it. I mean, it has a slight earthy barnyardy quality to it. That's what this smells like, which I've always liked the smell of it. You know, I remember our dogs just love that stuff because of the molasses.
A little smoky.
Overall, yeah.
A little. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of interesting since it's not oaked, the smokiness.
But the terroir is where, I mean, you know, you've got a lot, like I said, different soils. They don't need to.
It's a beauty. Wonderful long legs.
Very dark.
No hint of acidity from crystalline deposits.
No. No real brown edge. Actually, it's very little. I mean, it's dark up right up to the edge there. It doesn't show any oxidation or anything like that. No brickishness.
You might look at this and think it's a cab.
Or Shiraz, actually.
I'm going in.
So am I. Jesus.
What a beauty.
Holy Lord. If I was blind tasting this, Scott, I would say this is an Australian Shiraz. A really good one. But that it tastes New World in a big way.
The mouthfeel is exquisite. Very textured is a great word. One of the descriptions talked about layered in its textures. Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing, let me just drink one more.
The mouthfeel kind of shifts. It's not this wham, there's this big shift, but it kind of gradually becomes something different. There's a heavier mouthfeel, not quite oily, but maybe towards like a dairy. It's and then it becomes this more dense mouthfeel.
Well,
but it's wonderful throughout.
It's almost like a blackberry cassis preserves that are up front that lean into then a prunish smokiness. And then, yeah, when you say it's not an oak, it's not an oak. We know this. It says that. But it has this little smokiness that runs all the way from the back. Normally would equate that to oak. And even little hints of tobacco popping in, as well as a little bit of red meat minerality streaking through it all, like a dried meat.
Yeah, that the Grenache gives it a nice kiss in the mid palate.
Oh, yeah. The front palate, though, tastes like a very big Shiraz. Now, that leans through, and then I think you get back to being French mid to finish.
Yes.
But the front palate tastes like a big Shiraz.
It almost has a... You like to describe the Washington Red blends this way. Jazzy. It almost has a jazzy feel about it. It's headed that way, and then it changes back to become more French.
But it's too guttural and power. It's too... It's slightly... And I mean this positively, even though it's not a positive word. It's too ugly up front. Washed in wines, those type of wines that I refer to, don't want to displease you. They want to be very pleasing. So they're very jazzy all the way through. You know, you have big blueberry and you have big gobs of blackberry, but blueberry is sniffling through. And vanilla, maybe, from the oak. This doesn't have those. You know, the molasses element is still there on the back. But that cassis and the blackberry preserves, and really more cassis than the other, which gives it a bit of a unusual, exotic isn't the term because the wine doesn't taste exotic, but it tastes a little bit, it does taste more exotic in that fashion because it's not necessarily, it has the plushness, the richness of a preserve, but the flavor is just slightly different than what you would. It's not a blackberry necessarily. It has elements of that, but it tastes a little bit different, like cassis would.
You know, what I'm not getting is raspberry. It's distinctly blackberry.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something else going on fruit-wise? It's that really cassis.
Well,
I mean, I guess you could pull out
a little bit of
plum in there, maybe
a little bit of cherry cordial as it slides right into the mid palate, but then it pulls it back.
Yeah,
You think it's going to go that way because normally cherry cordial you associate with medicinal, but it starts leaning in a nice way and then pulls all the way back and then it goes into and then minerality and a little bit of acidity kicks in, and that just completely dissipates and goes away. So you get the nice parts of it. You know, the little slightly sweet cherry with a little bit of kiss of vanilla and mentholish kind of stuff going on. But then it just disappears. And then it goes into other things that you like.
Give that another big swirl. And draw just a little bit of air in there. Don't quaff it very long. And I think you'll see that chocolate that they talked about is starting to show.
Oh, Lord. No, yeah.
It is so nice.
The mouth feels all... Yeah, a baker's dark chocolate. I mean, you know, the dustiness from the baker's is the baker's chocolate, but the mouthfeel, the flavor profile all the way through in the back is a dark chocolate.
And I think this would be a wonderful to have just a little bit of chocolate with. Just a
be great.
Little bit of chocolate with this would be fantastic. A little
dark chocolate, really high-end, high-grade dark chocolate. Oh, yeah.
Like almonds and dark chocolate.
Oh, absolutely. Just not salted necessarily almond, but yeah.
Like those guava almonds I used to get. Oh, yeah. Lord.
That'd be great. That'd be really nice. I could even see like certain... tarts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. A blackberry tart. Something that has a little bit of the what you're going to have, like the savory butteriness from the pastry aspect, but you have that pure jam fruit. Maybe not over sweet tart. Something, you know, how you have some of those that are not this desserty. They're a little savory, even though they are fruit driven.
Do you ever have any of the desserts at Scally?
I've had desserts at Scally.
Judy's berry sauce.
Yeah, I've had that. Yeah, I had.
They do a really dense chocolate cake, but it's not fudgy. It's just dense in texture.
Yeah, like a yeah.
And that with the berry sauce, with Judy's berry sauce.
Oh yeah, this would be nice.
Oh, ho, 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 ho. Yeah. Shout out to Scally's.
Well, this has a decadence to it, a good decadence. It's not overpowering. It's not overbearing. But it has just that. Becky wouldn't care for it. I don't think she would hate this because the mouthfeel is okay for her. But she doesn't like these wines. She takes a set to them.
The fact that it's unoaked,
France is part of the European Union, so she's cutting off.
She's heat down on that right now.
She's twisting the natural gas pipe right now and just shutting off that valve. But
you're gonna have her. Never mind what I thought you were gonna have her
twisting that pipe. What?
Jesus. What? I want to hear more about this story. Twisting what pipe? I was losing my voice earlier, but this wine has made my throat feel great.
No wonder the Triple B doesn't like you, Wolford.
Why?
You hear something that might be disparaging about her soul, and you pipe in again.
The reason why people don't like me, and there's a list.
It's a long list.
They say I'm a pervert. I'm a flasher. I'm not seeing what. Yeah, okay. I'm a deviant, which yes. I think kind of goes with the other two. I don't think that's a third. I argue with somebody sometime. He was in a robe. He had this wooden mallet, and he pounded it, told me to shut up. And I said, no.
Was he behind a desk that was
It was higher. It was a higher desk. I don't know. I thought it was robe.
It might have been court.
It wasn't?
It might have been court.
Oh, I was wearing something orange.
You like roll.
Orange isn't my color. It's not.
That's a good TV show, though.
Orange?
Yeah.
It's a show?
Sure.
Is it about Donald Trump?
It's about prison.
Oh, well, he might go there.
He might go there, mightn't he?
You mean that's funny.
Anyway.
Wilfred, how much do you spend on hair products?
Oh, I thought you wouldn't ask me how much I spend on pornography.
Hair products.
I'm bald. Haven't you seen my picture on wine.com? I wear their shitty hats.
Well,
I should be spending more time trying to find Bordeaux in Ohio, but we don't do that. We have 12 fucking Bordeaux's. And five are Clarendels, one being a Roe fucking Zay.
Well,
that's not funny.
Well, what are you going to do?
You cannot do that. Florida Cardinal for $95 a bottle. No. It's not what that is. Chateau Graysac. Named after me, but that's okay. You know.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway.
There's your picture beside it.
Limp penis is the other. Limp dick and Graysac. Limp dick Graysac is my Native American name.
Oh, Lord.
It is. Limp dick Graysac.
Oh, Lord.
I don't think they like me very much. Now that I think about it, I think that guy was Italian. Never mind.
Oh, Jesus.
I should have had my pants on when I was arguing with him.
You should always have your pants on.
And he was pointing at me. And he was making observations. Now that I think about it, he wasn't calling me names. That was a bad Tuesday. Yeah. Sorry.
Did you enjoy the chains that they led you out of? Proceedings in?
That was after. I got let out, and that was on the way out. It was 11 in the morning. It was, I don't know. It's a rough night.
You should be nicer to the men in the robes.
Sometimes I am.
Bier haute.
Yes, bier haute.
Occultum lapidem.
Occultum, you mean?
Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
It's Ocleton.
If there's one thing I'm a little disappointed in the expression of from the reviews, what I expected, it's not quite as got the mineral punch that I would like it to have.
Well, I'll have it 2 years ago.
There's some minerality, but
have it in 2020, and I think you're going to find a big bastard. I mean, 2 years ago, holy shit! Oh, this is Whitney Houston. I Want to Dance with Somebody. That's a good song. Her old stuff has good tracks.
A little popish for me.
Yeah, I'm talking about 80s pop music, man.
Wendy was never my favorite. I don't care how popular she was.
Put on leg warmers and just dance. I don't know why.
Leg warmers?
I want to feel the heat with somebody, man.
Oh, Jesus.
Hey, man. With somebody who loves me. That's all I'm saying.
There's a reason you dance alone, isn't there?
That's true.
Well,
is that what it's called, dancing?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's those wedding rituals where you and Steve hit the dance floor, so... Guess I mean Steve loves you.
Happens after. Yeah. There's been some weddings, you know.
Been some weddings and been some night before the weddings.
His wedding, yeah. The rite of prima nocta. Prima nocta. I don't believe that's what they did in apparently I declared that. I didn't even know it. So what are you gonna do?
You know. You declared it?
I don't know. Slept with the groom on the night of his wedding. Not sexually, but you know.
Only Hank would know.
He wouldn't sleep with us. We tried to get him to sleep with us.
Yes, you did.
We had a full-size bed, man. And bring him in.
I left and went back to my room with my wife.
We didn't invite you.
Actually.
You weren't welcome. You just didn't have the. You didn't have it. Hank was sleeping on a. Folks, Hank is not a small man. He's about 6 foot, what, four?
Five, four.
Three bills?
Yeah.
And so. He's a large man, offensive lineman, offensive tackle, NFL offensive tackle size. Well, anyway, if you've ever been in a hotel room, you've seen those love seat looking things, you know? This did not fold out into a bed. He was just sleeping on the love seat thing.
And this was not a Hilton-sized love seat. This was a hotel that had modern appointments and modern furniture, so it was a slim
and, love you know, seat size. Those they're firm, like shitty. You don't sleep on that stuff. And so Steve and I were in the marital bed. And what was it? It was a queen size, maybe? Maybe it was full.
It
was king.
I don't know. Didn't measure.
So we said, come on in. Join us. There's plenty of room. And you know what? He's like, no, boy. I'm fine. No, I stay. It's like, that's come on, okay. Hank. And Steve goes, I need my big hairy bear here. It was great.
I witnessed him.
And I stayed in there. But what are you talking about? I fall asleep on your couch, and what do? You take your clothes off and go to sleep next to me.
No.
You took your clothes off and slept next to me.
I took my shirt off.
That's part of your clothes, damn it.
First of all, look, it's a very large sectional.
I could just.
It wasn't
it's not
next
large
to you.
Enough. You had a bedroom, it was your house.
We've had a lot to drink.
You're like, I could take my shirt off. It's like, why would you take? If you pass out, you pass out.
It's in the middle of the night that
you
happens.
You had the conscious effort to take your shirt off. And you had a button-up shirt, didn't you?
Not actually.
You did.
It was not conscious. It was unconscious when that happened.
I want you to tell me that you were you had your wits about you. You did not take advantage of me. I don't trust you.
No, I want you to keep on with this story. I'm interested. I'm listening. I'm off the side. I'm not here. Keep talking. Keep talking. Oh.
The many voices of Rob, the wine guy.
So, folks, we're going to take a break and be right back here on The Wine Bolt. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, we're just going to go through some things. I'm going to raise the potpourri question here shortly. But first, we've got to talk about something I did this weekend. Went tubing at Snow Trails.
We talked about this last year when I did it with one of the grandkids.
You went over there? Did you go to Snow Trails or Mad River Mountain?
Oh, I didn't go to Snow Trails. I went to Mad River.
Those look like they have a lot more. Do you get air?
Yes, depending on which lane you were in.
Oh.
See, not much, but a little bit.
This was all just built for speed. So Greg, he's the common man. He was on
the common man joined.
Yes.
So it was the boys.
Yes, myself, Henry, William, and Nash, my nephew, and Greg. And so we all linked together and went down as a group. You know, you're using your own inner tube. And when we went as a snake, just like a line, we broke the 40-mile-an-hour mark. Greg actually had the speedometer thing in his pocket.
That's awesome.
That's hardcore fast. And we almost went out in the parking lot. We went so far. But, 40 miles an hour on an inner tube. I'm not sure how fast a human being can get going down through there. But it was, we had the guys finally down at the end. They were down there, like the workers. Fucking dumbass wasn't paying attention. We almost took him out. I was screaming at him, "Look around, moron!" And we, boom, he had to leap and we caught his leg and knocked him down. But he's like, "You fucking dipshit. You have one fucking job. Don't stand in the middle of the fucking thing when people are coming. You can hear."
Well, aren't you supposed to look before you go down if somebody's in your lane?
They send you down.
Mm.
They have to push you over the edge. No. You don't have free reign. You have to. They just like a water park where they're waiting.
Oh, I see.
So no. That's their
how many lanes were across at Snow Trails?
Six or seven?
Yeah, see, Mad River.
You never had
like,
to wait.
Probably 15 to 20 across.
Yeah, that's wider there, yeah.
It's different. But it's Ohio, so these hills are hills?
Yeah, but you can't go down. I mean, you can't go down to two. I mean, man.
Where, you know, you go Seven Springs, it's the first place I ever tubed, and that's different. It's almost like a luge track going down. It's think like a kick-ass water park, except you're tubing down it at a ski slope.
Well, this was so bad.
It's night and day different.
Like all the wet and the moisture and the ice was just pelting you in the face as you're going down.
Yeah.
Very good. I just wanted to bring that up.
Were you able to shoot any videos? They were horrible for the most part.
We couldn't hold it. It was just too intense as you're going down through there.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you're a baby. You couldn't do it. That's fine. I did it, but you barely even knew what was going on. It's just because of the debris and the sound.
Yeah.
But it's fun. It's a great time. If you're in parts of the country where you can do that, haven't done it, take your kids out and go tubing.
Mm-hmm. We recently had another question, and I addressed this specifically to the listener, but I thought that would be something to bring up again, and we've talked about it before, but what are the differences between French and American oak, and what are our concerns with the two? I mean, I think we are, this is concrete, by the way, but I think we are on record that we prefer French.
By far.
Now, the question is, where does American oak fit in? Why do they use it as opposed to French? Now, what my take on it is, I mean, from French to American, French oak normally, it imparts a little bit different flavors than American. It is designed to create more of a silky texture in the wine. American oak, a creamier texture, silky to creamier. French normally imparts more spiciness, you know, a little more subtle flavors. Why? Somewhat because of the materials, but also because of the users of it. So that's one thing about American to French. If you had old American oak or subtle American oak, and it was used judiciously, you could probably do just fine with it because it has subtle nuance. It has all those things. And the properties that American oak imparts are nice.
Can be nice.
But if it's done properly. And often it's overused is the problem. And charring of barrels is very, very prominent. And it's mostly associated with American oak barrels.
I think also there's a certain oversight to anything associated with the wine production from France. First of all, you've got centuries of artisan craftsmanship and standards for which they do things, including producing the oak used for aging wines.
That's true. But also in French wine, in European wines in general, they realize that you don't always need to even utilize oak to make real wine. There's no oak on this
one. No, this is all concrete Greeks. But so the opposite of that is the... And regulated's a bad word. It's just... There's no tradition.
There's structure. There's more structure.
Structure's a good word, which means you're going to have more consistency. Where, you know, when American oak is done well, it's good. But how many times have we had American oak that it's just harsh? It's just harsh. And that's not all the winemaker. In my opinion, it's related to the producer of the oak material well.
But the fucking winemaker, they didn't taste their wine afterwards? Well, I mean, they probably were smoking a pack of Luckies before they tasted it.
Or they didn't know who they were getting their oak from.
But they tasted it after they oaked it.
And
you have to know what you're doing. If you don't know the quality of the cooperage that you're going through for the barreling, then you're a fucking jackwagon.
And it's
what is Gunlock Bunshu? They control every aspect,
yep.
And they have a uniform, great product all the way throughout. But when you're part of what you see in a lot of the stuff is, if you have a $10 wine, there isn't enough in the budget for proper oaking. So there are shortcuts sometimes with oak staves, oak chips, fuck knows, an oak tree pissing in the fucking barrel. I don't know. There are shortcuts done sometimes, but even at $15, there's not a lot of margin for good oaking. There isn't a lot of margin. So it's like, well, you know what? If we're going to be taken seriously, we've got to put this on oak. Because you know what? I've seen a lot of postcards from wineries, and on those postcards, they have oak barrels. So you got to put your wine in oak barrel. You got to do it. I don't know why I'm making this weird thing with my eyes, but
it's really unsettling.
But I've seen a lot of pictures, and they always have oak. If you have wine, you understand. If you buy wine, there's always a barrel around. That means you have to use a barrel to age your wine, even though we have 72 cents in the whole thing of wine. Now, we're still going to put it in a barrel. So, you might have to collect rainwater in this barrel instead of what we put it in. But we're going to put it in a barrel to age it. Because I saw on the internet that oak barrels and wine go together like peanut butter and a stool sample. So,
Jesus Christ. And them boys in Kentucky.
I look at weird websites.
Yeah, you're weird, all right.
I'm just saying,
And them boys in Kentucky, all that bourbon, everybody likes bourbon. They use barrels. Why can't we?
I could do a bourbon barrel. Yeah.
God.
The answer to that is bleh.
Yeah, just in case you've never tried a bourbon barrel aged wine, keep your soul pure and keep it that way. Don't try it.
And if you have, don't tell anybody.
Yeah, try not to.
No, don't tell me.
Don't admit it.
No. But if you do tell me that, I will send you a personalized autographed picture that I draw. Scott has seen the pictures.
It's terrible, folks.
Yeah. It's not very good.
It's the reason we don't have an intern anymore, because of Rob's drawing of... He's got a favorite subject.
It just makes you jealous.
No, it just happens to be Wilfred Wong.
That's right, I love it. What's the name of this new voice you have? It's fantastic. Very sexy.
I think that could be somebody else's voice. Another wine reviewer. I don't know any other wine reviewer.
It could be Joe Wagner.
Could be. No doubt, dude. This is Joe Wagner. Yay, bro. Hey.
I don't think he's a surfer dude.
No. Well, my daddy gave me all my money. I've got elbow patches on my suit coat.
I don't care if the grapes are from Oregon. I'm in California. I'm going to call it from Oregon.
So what? I like little Debbie snack cakes. What's the hell's the difference? I'll eat a whole box.
Those are delicious.
Zebra cakes are delicious.
No.
That's right.
No.
Yes.
The ho-ho and the fake ho-hos. They're ho-hos with cinnamon.
I love a ho-ho, but that's different.
The little Debbie ho-hos.
Oh, her name was
Swiss
Debbie.
Rolls.
Her name wasn't Debbie.
Swiss rolls.
Swiss roll.
They're a
no, ho- I think she was German.
They're a ho-ho with cinnamon.
That's just being
delicious. Yeah. Little Debbie Swiss rolls are delicious.
Okay. They are, if you're seven.
Oh, you go.
What?
What's your call? What's your call?
Actually,
prepackaged bad for you snack cakes.
What were those things that were? They were like the chocolate wafer things, and they had like peanut butter in between them. That was what it was called.
And they were chocolate coated.
Yeah, well, like kind of waxy. Well, they're all kind of waxy, aren't they? What the hell were those things called?
It wasn't a Hostess product.
Yeah, it was. It was Little Debbie. Little Debbie. Little Debbie.
It was a Little Debbie.
What the hell were those things called?
And they weren't cake. They were cookies.
Yeah, well, kind of crispy tasting, you know.
Oh, no. They were wafers. Chocolate-covered wafers.
Yeah, but they had some peanut butter.
Yes.
You'd take them apart by layer.
Let's just review these Little Debbie products. So while we're reviewing this,
yes,
our crack review staff. That's me while I'm talking.
On iPad, yes. Apple computers as well.
Din Dons. I always loved Hostess Din Dons. Some people say Ding Dongs, but they're actually Din Dons.
What about King Dongs?
The thick, dark chocolate on those.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Hostess was superior to the Little Debbie products.
I used to buy boxes of King Dongs in college, but I didn't eat them. I would buy them.
Din Dons.
Whatever. I would buy a gallon of whole milk because my roommate, he loved that stuff.
Whole milk?
And King or Ding Dongs. Whatever you want to fucking
call it. Wait, so you bought what he liked?
Well, because.
Is this where you practiced your artisanal skills of drawing?
No. Because.
Voice parts?
Because he felt bad about himself when he would eat those things and drink whole milk. And so he'd be in there and he'd have like this filling all over his face. And he'd be almost crying, saying,
Nutty Bars.
Nutty
Buddies.
Yes, Nutty Buddies.
Nutty Buddies.
And he'd have like, he'd eaten like three or four of them. And he'd be like, bro, I don't know why you buy these things. You know, I can't resist them. And it was so fucking funny. I mean, maybe that's a cruelty because I thought it was amusing.
Oh,
but.
Boy. That would. So your cruelty is not just. Recently discovered.
No.
Little Debbie has actually a new product that I'm not familiar with, but it's peanut butter crunch.
No, I don't know.
In the nutty.
Oh, is that like a half looking thing? Like a.
It's a little rounded.
That's
and
been around.
It's got stuffed peanut butter in it with a cookie outer shell.
Now, at.
Almost like a loaf of French bread.
Yes. At Bake Me Happy, which is a gluten free bakery in Columbus.
Relocating.
Yes.
Sent that article.
We were there on. Saturday.
They do a great job.
And Cindy, my wife, Becky, that's my sister, my wife
and
William went in and he picked out selections. And they have gluten-free zebra cakes, gluten-free ding-dongs.
And they also do gluten-free moon pies.
Well, they do. He didn't like moon pies. And Becky got like a crawler, like a blueberry lemon crawler.
Mm.
I tasted it. It was really good. But I tasted the zebra cakes and the ding-dongs. Let me just tell you right now, it's fucking good.
Yeah, they do a good job. But they're, you know.
Well, they're better than the Little Debbie counterparts. Let's just point that out.
It should be.
I don't know what they cost, but they probably cost the same as a whole fucking box of those things.
Yeah, their price points are $3 to $5 per item.
That's what a whole damn box of zebra cakes.
Yes, yes.
But I'll tell you what.
They're fantastic.
They do. really good. So Bake Me Happy.
Oh, yeah. They do a fantastic job.
Bravo. Excellent job.
I'm going to have to get you. If we'd been podcasting on the regular night, I would have picked you guys up some Insomnia cookies. They have a gluten-free line, but they only had one gluten-free cookie this time, where before they had several options. Mm-hmm. They went away from gluten-free and went vegan. And I'm like, that's not quite gluten-free.
I don't believe in veganism.
Well.
No. It's a Soviet plot. Becky, though.
She doesn't believe
if I can ever eat meat. She complained. I did ribeyes on Saturday night.
She complained about your ribeyes.
10 fucking degrees outside. 10 fucking degrees.
Did you have trouble keeping the grill to temperature?
No, it went to like 750 degrees. It was ridiculous. It went. Have you ever had butter explode? I did. I had the cast iron on there because I was going to do. I did halloumi. And yeah. And this is halloumi from the North Market. It is really good. But then I was gonna do brandied mushrooms, right? And so I was melting butter, but the pan was so hot, I put the butter in it for 2 seconds, and then it went, and the butter shot up in the air and landed then on the grill part. Just a chunk of butter exploded. It happened. And
you were there to witness it.
Mm-hmm.
Did Wolford get scared?
He's not there.
He wasn't there with you?
No, I suppressed him.
He's not always there.
I have
with
a
you?
Pill for that, man. So it's called, you know, Cialis.
So your visits with Dr. Schwartz are paying off?
Nah, you're not a doctor. But you do have a good Austrian accent.
Dr. Schwartz is very happy with your progress.
Becky
Robert.
Hated the ribeye.
Why?
Because she's a butthole. And she hated the mushrooms. And she hated the veggies. She hated everything.
Hated?
Hated.
It's a strong word.
I know. She was really endearing. So William then came down and he goes, is that steak? Yes. What are those? Mushrooms. I want that. So guess what? William ate all of Becky's food. She ate his ribeye, or he ate her ribeye, and he ate all the mushrooms and loved the mushrooms.
Or did she just bring Blue Child down to eat her food because
he just came
she
down.
Was feeling generous?
He must have smelled it. And so, seriously, Becky goes, does that still have alcohol in it? No, I burnt that off. So, you know, William had a nice dose of brandy. Made him happy. So, you know.
Make 5-year-olds happy.
Six. He's 6 years old.
Yeah.
He's like, those are really good. Then Henry tasted one and about threw up and spit it out. And William goes, I don't know what you're talking about. That's delicious. Because I love mushrooms. Are mushrooms healthy? Yes. Okay, I love them.
You know, they are if you're getting a proper sourced mushroom. The factory farm mushrooms, probably not so much.
Doesn't matter. So, folks, we're going to take a break.
Be old.
And then come back and provide this wine review. Here. Sorry, I have prosciutto on now. On the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, Scott was going to say something important, and I just cut him off by going back to the show. That is the power of having the laptop with the program on it and being the host. So, the domain de Bila Alt, and we're just going to leave it at that. Scott, what is your numerical score? Be a professional.
Scott has left the podcast. This is Dr. Schwartz. I'm here to talk about schizophrenia and the voices in your head, Robert.
I only hear one voice right now.
You're doing well with your treatments and your psychotherapy. I hope we do not have to return to the shock therapy. But Scott has told me his scores. So the wine could be considered a bit schizophrenic in its own, in that it exhibits new world characteristics and old world characteristics. And because of this, he likes this very much. And Dr. Schwartz says 92 of his points.
So I think of Dr. Schwartz right there. Is what he's ready for that.
Robert, Robert, your penmanship is terrible.
A little drool.
Stop drawing the penis.
I didn't. I drew your face.
That's Dr. Schwartz's face. It's not becoming of you.
Anyway, Wilford, 92 of your points?
The reason for this 92 points.
That is a plethora of points.
Is the brilliance of the fruit, the textures of the vine. We did not appreciate or
did you say the textures of the vine?
Vine?
A wine or vine?
The vine, yes.
You're saying wine with an accent.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought you were just stupid. Go ahead.
You have that covered, sir.
Okay.
We discuss this all the time. You want to be brilliant, you're just not. It's okay.
Keep on talking, Mr. Austria.
Accept your limitations. Brilliance of the fruit, the transition of the mouthfeel. We did not discuss enough the tannic structure. It's beautiful. It's not the most lengthy wine, but it has a nice finish. 92 of my points.
That's right. That's Dr. Schwartz, folks. 92 of your points. That is a lot of points, even from a Nazi. So on to me. 92 of your points. Scott, 92.
I liked it a great deal. The thing that blew me away about this wine is the mouthfeel. I'm a sucker for mouthfeel, but I love how it went from kind of a dairy thing to just this thick, dense mouthfeel so rapidly, so cleanly. What a great structure from the front to the mid to the back. I'd have liked a little more minerality. It's fine. And if I'd have given a range, it'd probably been 90 to 92. I'm solid with the 92. I love it.
And I agree with the 90 to 92, and I'm going to put it smack dab right in the middle of 91. Hall of Fame, though. This is a... I just take another taste, man. It's fucking tasty, too. I mean, it's just really good.
The drinkability is off the top of the charts.
Well, for us. I mean, not for everybody, but I mean...
I don't know.
Man, it's just
who's not
going to
like this
good.
Front? Who's not going to like this front palate?
Well, Becky will act like she doesn't like it, but I mean,
as soon as you say it's like unoaked, as soon as you say it's unoaked, she'll be all in.
She's not going to listen to that. She's going to like it.
I didn't like nothing. Where's my dinner?
That's what she said to me tonight. Where's my dinner? And I said, well, I've told you I was going to get something to eat.
I thought you meant a snack.
No, I was going to eat. So I was like, you're going to fend for yourself, woman. I thought you already ate.
I made corn dogs and...
She made... You know what? She complains about my brandied mushrooms, which are done perfectly. And ribeye, which, by the way, Scott, was cooked perfectly. Nice char on the outside and a nice medium rare on the inside. Beautiful. And she made frozen french fries.
Okay.
That were wet. They weren't even... They were just slightly thawed. And I was like, aren't you going to cook those?
Shut up.
I was like, don't talk about my cooking when you can't even fucking cook a fucking french fry.
French fries are tricky.
Muppet. No, you can touch them and say, I think that needs to cook longer.
So did you put them back in the oven?
No, I was leaving. It's like, you eat your raw french fries, you dumbass. You fucking moron.
Your cooking's terrible.
Oh, really? At least I cooked it. It was like... It already, by the way, what you had to cook already had been cooked. You just had to warm it up.
You know, maybe they were freezer burned.
She just bought them a day ago.
You could purchase them freezer burned.
She bought them extra frozen.
I'm sure it's not her
fault. I had them
in.
It's, oh, really?
I'm sure it's
not. We have an air fryer. You can put them in there. It'll just crisp them, man. It even has instructions. It has like little pictures too. Since she can't read, it says you if you're stupid and it's frozen French fries this long at this temperature.
Guy cheats and gets the Wordle right on the first guess one time. He's insufferable.
Anyway.
More insufferable than usual.
Monkey butt. Anyway, so.
Oh, that's a good term. Monkey butt.
Turd blossom.
No.
She's just a dipshit.
Easy.
Well, she is. Probably faking it. You were complaining. Well, I know. You were complaining. You said she was faking her illness because she was ducking us.
Well, I said maybe she's going into retirement is what I said. I didn't say she was faking illness.
If she retires, it's because I retire her. That's what I'm saying.
Easy. She's going to retire your
not
sorry
up
ass.
To snuff.
Kick you to the curb, son. Pick up a new, younger model.
No, that's the dude that does that. I'm not saying that that's a classy thing.
Easy. No. Women do that, too. How dare you? Now you're going to manspeak for...
That's more being sexist, not manspeak.
Now you're going to manspeak for infidelity. How dare you?
How dare I? I know. How dare you criticize infidelity?
Oh, Jesus.
I do criticize infidelity.
Well, it should be criticized.
It should be.
Next thing you know, you'll be going from bar to bar, walking along the side of the road. Oh, that was our Christmas party, wasn't it?
We didn't walk along the side of the road that far. How the fuck do we...
We did walk along the side of the road.
You and I, Scott and I, on our Christmas dinner.
With Steve.
Yeah, with Steve. We ended up...
Superstar.
We probably already talked about it. But we ended up at the shittiest crap-ass bar with karaoke. But Scott and I...
No. Before that, we were at the shittiest... crappy ass bar.
Okay.
That didn't have karaoke.
Okay.
So that was closed when we got there because Steve put the Uber for the name of the bar, except go figure, the allegedly cool bar was in a different location. And there's another bar just outside the city limits in a little village called Margaritaville. Yeah. And we went to the bar in Margaritaville that was closed, but we got served two rounds of drinks.
Yeah.
And then left and walked across the street. Literally walked across the railroad tracks.
Yeah.
Across the street.
It was in an industrial area of Columbus.
Other bar.
As far away from where we live as possible. And then Scott and I played Golden Tee golf, like, what, five rounds? 18 holes, mind you. While Scott went up randomly and would sing songs on karaoke.
They were cheering for me.
While Steve talked to random people at the bar.
No, he knew them.
And brought drinks to us.
My hand was bruised from the Golden Tee.
You don't have to do that.
A little bit too hard.
Scott actually had trauma on his hand.
It's like my trauma tonight.
And I still won. So, you know.
No, I won.
I won every match. And We played as much as you'd play on like a week vacation in fucking Phoenix.
Well, that's what we did all night. We were also trying to
not
stay away from everybody.
Yes, I know. It's like... COVID all around.
Yes.
We'll play golf over here.
Yeah, we were as secluded as we could be, but then Steve would bring the people over to us.
Hey, guys. Hey, COVID. It's like, why don't you just make out with them? I don't know where these people came from. He knew them, right?
But they...
How would he know somebody at the shittiest, well, the second shittiest bar?
He'd worked with them. There was a lot shittier bars than that.
Well, there are a lot shittier bars than that. It's just... That night, we pretty much, we started off at Scally's, then we went to fucking Giuseppe's, two high-level places. And then we just decided to go play in a Port-a-John for the next three
Steve
hours.
Steve said he really knew a really cool place to go.
He doesn't know a really cool place to go.
He probably does. He just couldn't remember the name of it or the address of the location.
Well, yeah. Or we could add just three more drinks at Giuseppe's. So, folks... A 92, a 91.
Taking out a second mortgage on our house.
Well, I don't give a shit about that. A Hall of Fame. I'll take a mortgage on your house. On the Domaine de Bille Haute, Ocladum Lapine.
Don't even do that.
Côtes de Roussillon Village.
Lapidum.
Yes. Ocladum Lapidum. Côtes de Roussillon Village, La Tour de France.
Don't do that to yourself. Why do you? Punish yourself this way. You need to see Dr. Schwartz more often.
You need to see your own dick more often. Robert. So, for Rob the Wine Guy.
Don't try to speak in French. We've talked about this in your session.
I don't normally speak French. I kiss that way. And Rob the Wine Guy, we're going to bid you adieu. But see you next time with another French wine.
Are you lonely tonight?
Are you? I don't know how that goes, but that's all right. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. We're going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here on The Wine Vault. Good night.